Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Wow, beautiful intro music from the award-winning,
the Grammy-nominated,
that was like on the tip of my. I was like, "What was that fucking thing called? The Grammys?" I forgot the word.
Yeah, and it you know, makes
and
sense.
It's not a lie.
It's not a lie.
The Grammy-nominated. You know, you're in great company. Is there like a club that you get to join, like where you hang out?
No, but also this is the first year they've had this category too, so I'm in the inaugural class.
And you get, look at you and your multiple buzzwords, inaugural and Grammy nominated. Wow. 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 This is another episode of Don't Blame Me. My name is Megan.
And my name's Melissa.
And together we make up the angel and the devil on your shoulder, except we both secretly have devil horns and little cute little halos because we're multifaceted, because we're women and you can't put us in a box.
But you can put us on your shoulder. You may notice that we're recording separately, and that's because it is pouring down raining and it has not stopped all day long.
No. So if you're listening, maybe you probably won't hear, but like I will say it's been kind of like a nice white noise in the background. But if you're watching the video, you will notice that we are not sitting together. And we are on flood watch yet again. Mm-hmm. And our household is currently down to one car, and that is my Jeep. So Mott's did need to, I mean, I was like, there's no way I want to drive in this, and also my vision. I cannot do the reflections. We've been over this, but I also feel like a lot safer that he does have to drive and he's not in an Uber.
Yeah.
Hydroplaning across Los Angeles.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. And also I was summoned out of my sleep this morning now that it's daylight savings time, you know.
I'm obsessed, by the way.
It's darker.
I love daylight savings. I've never loved it more than anything in the entire world.
Dislike it. Because at 6 o'clock, which before that would have been bright outside. Like it would have been bright. So this wouldn't have been as much of a nuisance. But because it was dark, a truck parked right next to the window of my, where my bedroom is. So like on the side of my house. And I don't know what it was, something. I don't know if they were delivering something or taking something away. I looked outside. I couldn't understand why they were there, but they had orange lights around the whole truck and they were flashing. And the kind of window dressings that I have are kind of like these fabric things, which I love because they let in just enough light. But if something, if it's dark and it's flashing, it's too much light, like it intensifies it. And then the people were also honking. And I probably had like 5 hours of sleep at that point. And you know, when you were like in REM and you wake up and you're just without going through the proper stages and you're just bewildered and don't know what's going on. And you have a headache, and that's what I was at. And then I couldn't go to sleep. And then I was like, since I'm up, I might as well review a podcast, which I did. And then the lights were still going. And then I was like, I'm going to submit my script to this contest. And I did that. And when they finally left, I could close my little eyes. And you had texted me by then.
Yeah.
And you're like, can we start later? And I said, I don't even think I respond. I think I said yes.
You said, there was thank a God. Thank you said, God, yes. And I was like, I love your enthusiasm. Amazing.
I finally was able to go back to sleep, and it was like the deepest sleep. And I woke up refreshed, but later than what we had planned on, which I apologize for.
I don't care. I always just worry that it was my fault. And I'm like, oh no, was I supposed to text you to be ready?
No, it was my fault. And then we've just gone through, we've had things today that have turned out to be longer than what we expected them to be, but they were good things, hopefully. I mean, one of them definitely a good thing, because you'll hear it later. It's our update. So we're not going to do it after we're done talking here like we usually do. We're going to put it at the end because it's long.
We vibed hard.
We vibed hard, but there's just so much valuable information that's there.
So we're not going to talk about the profession that this person is like going into, but I just want to say that like, it's one of those things that like just talking to her, I'm like, I have hope for people. Like, A, I have hope for anyone who goes to therapy, so therapized, so like is able to put like thoughts to feelings, so like inspiring. Like, I think anyone who listens will like gain knowledge, insight, and be like, wow, this, I'm going to carry so much of this like with me for the rest of my life.
Right. Like, I was literally thinking whenever they go into that profession, like if I need something from that profession, then
I'm flying my ass there.
I would go there.
Yep.
Because I trust her so much.
Without a doubt.
And that's someone I would want in my corner.
Yeah. They were just like really, really cool. And specifically about the call that they called in about is one that we've talked about at nauseam since it happened. And I think the insight there and additional information is going to be something that like, I don't want to call it entertaining, but like, there's so much insight from someone who's been a part of it that we can apply to everyone and your life, even if you haven't been through this exact situation.
Yeah.
Taking it back to when you said suddenly waking up, when I tell you this is actually what set my fucking weekend off completely wrong, I think it was Sunday morning, I woke up and I don't totally remember this, but Mott said I just had like a sudden start of a wake up. Like, I'm very sensitive to noise. Like, I'm not a really like, I'm not a super deep sleeper, but because I don't really get much REM sleep at all. But for some reason, like, I don't know what it was. It was like, he told me like, hey, I have coffee there for you. And I immediately was like, oh no, I don't want it to be cold. I was laying down. I sat up so fast, vertigo immediately for hours. Like, I was not okay. Like, I haven't had that bad of vertigo in, it was almost, I had a, like, I forget what it was that I had that. I've had like, when I had COVID, I had like, kind of shitty vertigo, but like not that bad. I remember I had the vertigo that felt like I had like the spins for days. Like mm-hmm. it was like, it was almost if I could smell tequila on my body and I hadn't been drinking. Like, so it was like that level, but it was so bad. And it was like, I was like, what the fuck? And Mats was like, well, maybe it's just because you sat up fast. And I look it up. Yep. That's exactly what can happen. Like if you just sit up yes. too fast.
Oh no, I've had
I'm that never before. Doing that again. Yeah. It was so bad. I did take an antihistamine, which did help. And mm-hmm. a lot of people said that that helps, but like a miracle that I did not vomit like everywhere. Like I was not okay. And then of course it takes me straight back to being on a cruise ship, which is also not a place that I want to be. So like I'm having like psychologically, I'm not enjoying what this is, these feelings are. And I'm also not enjoying these feelings. It was so, so bad. And I'm like, I'm very glad that you now know. You already knew not to sit up immediately. But as soon as you start telling that story, I go, oh no, I hope she didn't sit up too fast and get vertigo.
No, I've had vertigo, but it was just, I just didn't wake up fully, you know? Like yeah. It was just too much. It was too much. And I'm very mad about that.
Your bodies are going to body. They're going to do what they yeah. need to do. And it mm-hmm. needs to sleep. And you had the wherewithal to not sit up and give yourself awful vertigo, but I forget there was one day last week or something like that. And I did have a gap in my meds, and that can happen once you like are taking them again, where I slept like 14 hours, which is not mm-hmm. normal for me. Like mm-hmm. if I get like 6 hours of sleep, that's impeccable. And also the shift in weather sometimes can like disrupt your sleep without you even realizing it.
I prefer the cold, rainy weather when I don't have to go anywhere. So I was really looking forward to this sleep.
You know my personal vendetta against lights. I hate lights. I hate bright lights. I hate lights flickering. I hate all of that. But I have a extreme hatred for car lights, specifically headlights, but any sort of fucking flashing hazard safety light. First of all, I have impaired vision, but I'm not vision impaired. Like I'm not blind. I'm not any, I can see, but you're making it actually harder for me to see. Because I do have vision issues, and then there's no sound stuff. So like, this isn't accessible to everybody to be warned about this thing, and you're making it more dangerous.
It was 6 o'clock in the morning. So like, nobody was out there. The street was clear. So I don't understand why it was happening.
Yeah. As you, the president of the self-appointed HOA, you not only have a lot of speed bumps, but like, they're stop signs. You have one place yes. that could have maybe one more, but like mm-hmm. no one's speeding. You can't fucking no. speed down it. Like no. there's no like, oh, you turn a quick corner and like you're speeding down. Like, no, there's stop signs and fucking
no, they weren't speed bumps. In the middle of the street. They weren't in like a driveway. They weren't in an alley. They were literally just parked. So again, I don't understand what they were doing.
Well, I hate so them for
it
you.
It makes zero sense, but if I was more awake, you know, I would have got the license plate and figured it out.
Oh,
but
she would have taken a picture. So I asked Melissa the other day, which I didn't even get around to doing it yesterday because I had to get my fucking LAW, whatever, D.
LADWP.
Like, there you go. HOA is coming in hot. The fucking login info from my bill. And I was like too lazy to do that. But I texted Melissa yesterday and I said, what's the thing you do to tell the city you've got a large trash pickup? And then she said, download the My LA 301 app. And I said, oh my God, you're such a fucking HOA. Like,
and then I tapped you through it.
No, yeah. And then you're like, and then this, and then you're doing the fucking little arrow signs. Like you're giving me like IT genius bar fucking instructions on how to do this. And like, I didn't even know this app existed.
I don't think a lot of people do due to the things either that I see happening in the streets, but I clean it up. So.
No, she does. Here's the thing. You know what we need to redirect the LAPD budget to? The Diamond of Los Angeles. Diamond, you know what? You could be polishing. That can be what you do. You're not policing, you're polishing.
Yes.
Wait, I'm sorry. That's like actually genius. That and it's about, you know, making the community a better, safer and place. And safer mm-hmm. means stop signs and speed bumps.
Yes.
And also
making sure people aren't illegally dumping, making sure the streets are clean. And when I say streets are clean, I don't mean like the way the police talk about like,
no, she doesn't mean if people
cleaning up from the people, the gang members. I mean, like literally people think that you can just leave a sofa on the side of the road and the city will pick it up. No, you have to let them know that it's there because they have to have a special truck that picks it up.
You have to download the My LA 311 mm-hmm. app and they will pick it up. Like you're going to yeah. be going door to door. Not only will you be helping people get registered to vote, you're going to be like, do you know about this app? Like they can yeah. do this, this, and this. I think like you polishing this city incredibly well. And you could funnel government funds, state funds, for us to get our food truck.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I see this for you.
Okay.
I actually genuinely do not see state or city or county politics for you. I could see it like maybe in like 10 years or something, like down the road. Like you've got your Selena Meyer, like you have your whole, like you've got your, like you've got all of that stuff. But I don't see you working as many hours on making, on, you know what I mean? I see you living off of the fruits of your labor and then doing this because this is a lot of mental energy. Yes.
When I was in high school, I used to say I was going to become the mayor of Springdale. Then, no.
For the gag of it or because you wanted to commit change?
For the gag of it.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it'd look cool.
Anyways. I guess we'll tell you about the show.
Oh, yeah. That.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So this is an advice podcast and you're like, what the fuck? Yeah. Okay. We like to talk. We've got great personalities. We've been awarded
a Michelin star for great taste. Get it?
So we give wonderful, amazing, life-changing advice and we're qualified to do so because we said we are and we have been ordained. We've also been knighted.
I actually am.
Without a doubt. She is. And we have been, the gift has been bestowed upon us by fairy godmothers who came into the night and they gave us these gifts, which we then share with the rest of the world. So if you want to call in for an upcoming episode, you can leave us a voicemail at 310-694-0976. International listeners, you can send us an audio message at meganpodcast@gmail.com and tell us what's happening in your life. Tell us the predicament. You have 3 minutes or less. We do ask that you write everything down that you're going to say ahead of time and then practice, time it out a couple times, make sure it's under 3 minutes. So if it's way under and you've cut out some crucial information, we do want you to let us know your ages and everyone who's involved their ages. You can let us know your pronouns if you would like. It's all anonymous. You can use pseudonyms. But if it's like, oh, and our history is like, we've got just so much shit, like I can't even get into all of that. If you have time, we need at least like 2 to 3 examples.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we like to hear that. It helps us. We have the best information and the most accurate information and ample relevant information. We can give you the best advice. And sometimes if you don't give us that, then we're going to have to like infer on our own. You can always let us know if you are sensitive. We will keep that in mind. And you have to be 18 or over, have your parents' permission.
Yeah, but we're going to take a break now.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
In our live stream, our listeners are always recommending and talking about books. So we're so excited about Book of the Month because this is something that our listeners are going to love.
This is a brand that I've been familiar with for a long time. I like love watching people talk about it. I love seeing what books people are reading and like what books they have available. And I love everything about it. So I'm so excited for someone who like... You know, the ease of getting into a book, a lot of it can feel like really daunting. So to have like a service where it's like, you're going to get like high quality hardcover books, which that's my preferred way to read, at incredible prices, but also curated. So it's like amazing, cool, wonderful, great. This is, it's kind of like a straight shot into that and something that Book of the Month you can do over and over and over again. And one of the great things about it is the longer you are part of the program, the cheaper the books get.
Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and promote the work of emerging authors. One of the amazing things about Book of the Month is that every aspect of Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. First of all, the books come in a bright blue box, which is very pretty. Me and Megan were just talking about them. There's also a fun app to pick your books and track reading progress. And as well, there are reading challenges and rewards.
And Book of the Month makes it really easy to decide what book to read next, which for me is like the biggest hurdle. I love when other people make choices for me, especially when they're good choices. And I'm like, cool, I can trust you. So each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles and they pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All of the books are so good, you can't go wrong. And I mean that wholeheartedly. When we were picking like our selects for this, I was like, wait, this, I like all of them. This is hard. And I literally coordinated with Melissa and I was like, okay, so these are like my top ones. I'm assuming they will be yours. So don't pick the same one as me. So then we can swap afterwards. And that's what we did.
So we got The Ministry of Time by Killian Bradley. And we also received The Return of Ellie Black by Emiko Jean.
The Ministry of Time is like, people are calling it like, if you're a fan of Outlander and like spy novels or time traveling books, it's quoted from Town and Country saying it's really innovative, fun storytelling. The Ministry of Time is definitely for you, and listed it as 45 of the must read books for spring 2024. And then Harper's Bazaar also said part time travel romance, part spy thriller, and 100% multifaceted joyride. When I tell you that, I was like, sold.
We're also excited about The Return of Ellie Black. And this one is about a missing girl who returns, but that isn't the end of the story. It's only the beginning. We both like a detective book. This one is 20 years since Detective Chelsea Calhoun's sister vanishes. Ever since, Chelsea has been searching for signs for closure for other missing girls. But happy endings are rare in Chelsea's line of work. Which, that sounds so intriguing. And I'm looking forward to reading this novel so much.
Can't wait. And we're so excited to usher in this new sponsor. And we know y'all are already going to love this. Plus, we've been recommended this so many times. Mm-hmm. So we've already got fans in you. Try the service yourself at bookofthemonth.com. And you can get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That is your first book $5 at bookofthemonth.com using code PETALS.
And we're back. And you know what time it is.
Rolling the tapes, playing the calls.
Hey, Eminem. I'm 29 and I live with my best friend, Grace, also 29. And my question will be about a mutual friend, Samantha, 30, all she, her. In 2020, I reconnected with Grace, and through circumstances lining up, I decided to move across the country to room with her. It was risky, but so far it's been one of the best decisions I've ever made. When I moved here, Grace had already lived here several years, and she introduced me to her pandemic pod of friends. Some of them I'd heard about before through stories, not always great, like her friend Samantha, a friendship that has had highs and lows. At the time, they had been very close, but I understood Samantha to be catty and judgmental, prickly on the outside and soft on the inside. At meeting her, I brushed off the rude vibes because I knew it came from a place of insecurity. She considers Grace a very close friend. Over the past few years, we've done girls' nights, the three of us, and we've had fun together. Over the last year, Grace has been extremely busy, both professionally and with family stuff, and I've watched how Samantha will be passive-aggressive about Grace not having time for her, and then when we do hang out, she'll say ugly things offhandedly, like talking about other people's appearance, or backhanded comments about Grace or I or Grace's boyfriend, or letting her white privilege show. Lots of little things that have been building up, and it came to a head at Samantha's birthday gathering 2 weeks ago. The vibe was off, and there were several instances where Samantha was just flat out rude. I think Samantha can feel Grace pulling away because she's been putting more emphasis on her friendship with me. Like at her birthday party, she gave me a long goodbye and talked about how she wanted us to be closer, and I'm not just Grace's friend. Grace is very done. At this point, she doesn't even feel the need to have it out with Samantha, as our daily lives don't intersect at all. I'm not sure how to go about this situation. I want to 100% support Grace. I also feel like it's not my place or responsibility to speak on Grace's behalf to Samantha. Samantha has generally been a good friend to me, but I know if we did not have a mutual connection, I would not have become friends with her in the first place. If I hang out with her one-on-one, I know Grace will come up in conversation, and I don't even want to go there. I feel like we're in this natural phasing out limbo of adult friendship, but it's made especially awkward by the fact that we have been a friend trio for the past few years, with Grace being the connector. Samantha has reached out to hang out with the three of us, and I'm not really sure how to go about this. Any advice would be welcome because right now I kind of feel like a mean girl because of the 2-to-1 ratio. Grace and I are both Aquarius and Samantha is Pisces. And I have a little bit more time than I thought, but y'all rock. And thank you so much for the pod.
Wow, that was 2 minutes and 59 seconds.
Absolutely beautiful, stunning. I want to say, I think it's incredible that you're like self-aware that like, you know, you recognize that this has been a trio friendship and you're the 2-against-1 dynamic and feeling like you don't want to feel like you're being a mean girl. And from what you've stated, I don't see that. Like, I think this is like, there are a lot of pitfalls of trio friendships. And we have like spoken ad nauseum at like, they're not good. Like they're like, It's up there with like, you know, don't live with friends. And hey, you succeeded in living with friends. So therefore there is no way in hell you are also going to be able to succeed in having a trio friendship. That's just lightning doesn't strike the same place twice. And I don't think that this is falling, as someone who's been burned by being the odd one out of like a trio, this is not like reminiscent of that to like me at all. This is, like you said, this is like a natural phasing out point of a friendship. And that happens in groups of 2s, that happens in groups of 5s, that happens in groups of, it happens to be happening in a group of 3. And the only thing I think that would make you a mean girl in this is if you didn't let the natural progression of the friendship ending take place and you kind of led with a little bit of like pity to her and feeling like an obligation, not because you really care about her and not because like you really want to be her friend and like you don't want this friendship to phase out and it doesn't feel like a natural thing for you, but because you feel bad and you feel like that if you don't do that, you would be mean that would be mean because it wouldn't be truthful and it wouldn't be honest. And it's just like not like fair. So I think like, honestly, it sucks that you're like, I don't want to be like the mouthpiece for Grace in this situation. And like Grace doesn't really have any desire to formally conclude her relationship with Samantha. So I think like, no offense to Grace, like as like a ghoster, I'm very much like Grace, but I know that that can put other people into like a really fucking shitty position. And so I am cognizant of that in those kinds of moments. So I would honestly like, how are you comfortable with this friendship ending? Like, are you more comfortable with like having a conversation? Because I think having a conversation, it does need to be separate. I don't think it can be. That is when you get in two on one and that's like, oh, hey, we don't want to hang out anymore. But I think if Grace isn't going to say anything and she's going to ghost, if ghosting and like kind of like phasing out, breadcrumbing out is like not really your, like if that's what you're cool with, like go for it. Or if you're more of a straightforward person and just, you know, respond on that same chain, I wouldn't start a separate chain because that does invite to talk about Grace on there. I would just say like, I appreciate that. I just think like, you know, our lives are kind of like at, or maybe you should send it separate. Actually send it separately. Our lives are just kind of like, you know, I'm like pretty big, like maybe make up a lot. I'm pretty busy like and focusing on these kinds of like things, but like don't really have the time and energy. I don't know. It depends on what you would want as a friend. Cause like, I don't want that, which is why I just ghost. Cause I would prefer to be ghosted.
Yeah. I have a trio friendship and it's hard to navigate, but I like both of them. You didn't like Samantha to begin with. That's what makes it difficult, is that you were kind of friends with her just because she was there, but she, and you made allowances for her behavior because of your feelings towards not trying to be a mean girl. And I'm not saying like it's not nice to think about other people's feelings. It is, but sometimes you got to think about your own feelings. And if you've never felt this girl, it's been more of a pity friendship or a friendship out of circumstances because she was friends with your friend that you moved in with after moving across the country and she was in your same quarantine pod. Unfortunately, like Samantha's feelings are going to get hurt regardless. But again, think about you. Does it feel, I'm not saying that you're being fake, but like you're kind of putting on, you're getting close to being fake, but you're not quite there yet. And a friendship shouldn't have this much effort and this much allowances for someone that you would have never been friends with outside of these circumstances.
Yeah, you're tiptoeing around her feelings and considering her feelings in a way that like she's never had with anyone else. Like mm-hmm. You're giving her a lot more than she's ever allowance and she's ever allowed anyone else. Here's the thing. I agree with everything Melissa said. You're getting into fake territory. So you either have the option to dip out, opt out, don't be fake, or be fake for a little bit. And then this is my toxic advice. And this is mostly this like the people pleaser like advice, or this, I need to make a circumstance where this is like okay for me. So it's not healthy. But hang out with her one-on-one once. You know she's going to talk about Grace and be like, you know what? I'm really not comfortable. I can't move forward with a friendship like this. This is just uncomfortable. And then you have your built-in kind of reasoning there. So sometimes I do think that like giving someone a quote-unquote one last chance when you already know that your mind has made up, that you've made your mind up, but like your conscience or there's some like voice in your head that is like, I don't think I'm going to commit to a clean break if I don't confirm my suspicions. If it's not like, okay, have I been thinking about, like, have I been doing this? Have I not? Like, what is this? What is my feelings about this? Like, let me have a second taste. Let me like make sure I'm confirmed that like, I don't like this. And mm-hmm. then it's like, oh, okay, I don't. And I wouldn't, if you're already so fucking set in those boundaries and those feelings and you're going to commit to it and you're not going to be wishy-washy, then I think like, commit to it. Don't be wishy-washy. But if you need a little bit more ammo and a little bit, like if you need the momentum to cut it off and to actually cut off this friendship and not drag it on or kind of like placate the niceties and do all of that stuff, which is more harmful, then I would hang out one time and let, let it happen how you know it's going to happen, and then use that as your clean break there. But I think it's even fake as fuck how you're even saying that, like, she then at the end of the party was like, oh, you know, you're not just her friend, you're my friend too. And like, you can, the way you're saying it, it's pretty clear that you felt that she was kind of laying it on a little thick, and it's specifically mm-hmm. because she's feeling jealous. And people who have not, maybe not treated us personally well, but we can kind of look from a bird's eye view that they're maybe not the nicest people, or they've done a lot of things that we wouldn't personally do. And we wouldn't stay quiet if it was our own friend. We would call them out. And you also wouldn't befriend someone who says those things. Considering their feelings so much is a kind thing to do, but that also doesn't make them a better person. And like, sometimes it can be like, well, you know what? Sure, they're mean, but like, I want to be the bigger person. A lot of the time, being the bigger person is just about your own ego and saying that you got to be the bigger person. It doesn't always help the other person. It doesn't like inspire by like leading and showing them what they should do. Like, some people are petty and some people are shitty, and like, you need to be able to live with your own choices and your own moral and your morals and your own conscience. And it's not about leading by example or about feeling like patting yourself on the back, like you did a good job and now they're going to treat people differently because look at how you treated them. Like, that's not really how it works. Like, you just have to choose what's the outcome and the steps that you can take that are going to make you be able to sleep at night. And like, if someone brought this up, you would be like, you know what? I have no regrets about this situation. And like, I'm content with how I handled it.
Yeah. I had another trio that's kind of similar to what you described, where my friend was friends with somebody else. And then I really liked my friend. We were all new friends, but I really liked one girl, and the other girl was just there. And I was annoyed by her from the very beginning. And this just kind of continued for years, and to the point where I just kind of got so annoyed that I got angry with her for no reason. And it wasn't a good feeling. And I advise you not to get to that point where you know that being with her is painful for you, but you're also, like I suggested before, I was faking it. I was faking being her friend. Eventually, I just started pulling away because she was coming on very abrasive during a time in my life where I was going through something traumatic. And I was just like, leave me alone. And then I was ignore her. And then she eventually, I guess she got the hint because she unfollowed me on Instagram, but then popped up again a few months ago with a creepy voice memo. But anyway, I don't want you to get to that point where you're just faking the funk because you feel like you have to.
Yeah, you're misleading the other person. And then it's kind of just like, well, this is who I am. And like, this whole time, like, you're now on your moral high ground, or you're now like saying that you don't like, but this whole time of being fake, like, it's a disservice to both of you, because mm-hmm. like, that's who they are and that's who they've been, and they haven't been lying about that. They've been pretty clear about that. And then you have disliked it the whole time and stayed quiet, to both your detriment. Like, that's not right. Fun for either of you, and no one benefits from that in the long run or the short term.
All right. Well, next call.
Hi, Megan and Melissa. I, 29, she, her, have a friend, 27, she, her. We met in law school and we were there to support one another through some tough times post-grad. We're both moms, and she is actually one of my very few mom friends. We never hung out outside of school, but talk on the phone a lot when she moved to a different state. Recently, we got into a conversation where I mentioned a classmate's wife on Instagram being transphobic regarding the Hershey's chocolate campaign, where Hershey's put a trans woman and activist on their chocolate for Women's Day. The story the wife posted was essentially saying that they have lost her business and she will only be buying from quote-unquote non-woke candy brands. I said that I found that aggressive and kind of weird to put on social media, because you're basically telling everyone you know that you are, in fact, a bigot and transphobic. My friend paused and said that if she's being honest, she agreed that she didn't want that kind of stuff shoved down her throat. She is Muslim, and upon us meeting, I thought she was very liberal and progressive from the way she spoke and talked about things. Recently, she has even said that she wants to send her child to a private school that does not allow same-sex parents because she doesn't want to have to explain that sin to her child. I told her there's nothing to explain. Some people have two moms, some people have two dads, some people only have one parent, some are raised by grandparents. There's no blueprint for a family. I tried to reason with her and told her that there are so many people who are closeted who end up dying by suicide, and can consider whether she would rather have an alive child who loves who they love or no child at all.
She said she's fine if other people are gay, but that homosexuality is a sin from, or is a test from God. And if her child fails that test, then she fails that test. This floored me because as a mother, I could not imagine not loving my son for who he is sexually attracted to, or ever being okay with the thought of him dying by suicide because he didn't feel I would love him. My question is, how do I navigate this friendship? Do I keep trying to educate her or get her to see a different point of view? I don't want to lose her as a friend, and she never talked like this before having a child herself. But if her harmful views can't change, then I don't feel like I can in good conscience keep her as a friend. But is it bigoted or close-minded of me to not consider what her religion and religious texts say? Does that make me Islamophobic? I would love to hear your perspective and anyone else's. Also, I am a Pisces and I can be sensitive, but I do appreciate honesty. Thank you both. Love the podcast. Bye.
Being homophobic is not a prerequisite to be a part of any religion. Like it's truly not. And there are religious texts in lots of different things. Like I've shit on Mormonism publicly a whole fucking bunch of times. And there are Mormons who aren't homophobic, and their text specifically, there's not a lot of acceptance of people taking the Mormon faith up to interpretation. Like that's why you'll find a lot of like ex-Mormons specifically talking, because there's not a lot of room. But that also doesn't mean that there's not any room in general. There's people who still align with Mormonism who say that they're but you know what, they're fine with, you know, totally fine with homosexuality. They're okay with it. Their church doesn't, and they're not going to find a church that does. But like Christianity, there are some people who use Christianity as a shield to be homophobic. And then there are churches who are run by people who are in the LGBTQIA community. Like there are different, you can have any sort of personal beliefs in any kind of religion you're in. And there will be people who are to the extreme and the most bigoted belief in every religion, and will use that in every religion. So I think it's great that you're being aware that, like, you know, some people's like religious text says other things, and is like, there's cultural things about everything that like we're not a part of specifically, that I think it's important to, I mean, this is not nowhere near as so related to it, but like I personally, as like a white woman, like I'm not going to pierce my child or my baby's ears, but I understand that that's a cultural thing. And there's some communities where like, that's a thing that's totally done. I'm not going to judge that. And I'm not going to be like, no, that's not okay. But I also acknowledge that that wasn't my upbringing or what I was surrounded with. So for me, there's a different meaning behind it. Homophobia, there's not a different, like, there's not mm-hmm. a different meaning. Like homophobia is that's the belief system. That's the meaning. Like that's what's there.
And transphobia, since that was talked about too.
And I think that people do change after having kids. It can be sometimes why people who have claimed that, who were, you know, spanked as a kid, that they're never, that was like never going to do that. They have a kid and they start to maybe relate more to, they think they relate more to their parents. And so then they can end up doing things that they previously have either never talked about, never thought about, or anything that like, it does happen. Like, and it can have the same effect of like you're changing, but way differently, where you're posed with the same parenting situations that the older people in your life are posed with, and you're making completely different decisions, and you're like reckoning with that and how adults in your life had failed you and how you will never fail your child. And that's the change that you're having. And it's the opposite change that your friend is having. So that's truly like what this is. And I don't think that it was ever probably brought up because she was super open and like wasn't homophobic and wasn't transphobic. I think like, you know how like some people like, I'm going to live in the city, but when I have kids, like I'm going to get a bob and I'm going to move to the suburbs. Like, you know, this wasn't something that affected her life. But if you probably sat her down and asked her, like, are you going to send your kids to a private school where there's no same-sex couples, which I guess I'm still a little bit confused how that's even legal, even if it is a private school. You know, discrimination acts, like those still apply to private institutions. And so like there's loopholes still there.
But they'll like find other things, but yeah, they can't outright say it.
But to me, the fact that she outright said it, this is not a new belief. Like there's mm-hmm. no kind of like talking around it, excusing, like recognizing.
the school itself can't outright say it, but the parents can.
She said it so blatantly and she didn't try and disguise it as anything it wasn't. Like, she didn't come at this from like a turf perspective. Like, these are beliefs that she's clearly had. And mm-hmm. I'm not faulting you, caller, at all for this, like at all. But you felt comfortable bringing this up to her because you did not fucking think that this was going to be her response. But she also felt comfortable saying this to you, knowing everything that you had just said. This is a deal breaker friendship thing. Like, and to me, I'm like, she heard what you said. She heard about how disgusting you think this is. Like, she knows like your stance and your views and all of this. And there's, she wasn't trying to preserve the friendship here or kind of like tiptoe around the subject or anything like that. Like, you talked about this person who you're like, I think less of this person for doing this. Like, they're a bad person. And she said, hi, I'm a bad person too. Like, you don't have to like, then be like, okay, well then how do I like self, like how do I navigate this friendship moving forward? Like, she did that. Like, she, to me, she chose where this friendship goes and that was ending. And that's all there is to it. Like, there's nowhere to me, like there's nowhere to move on from that. Like, her viewpoint and people's viewpoints like this make me irate, and I'm not a mom. And so like, you saying that specifically about your son, like if this was him, like, I can't even imagine how much more angry you are, because this is you're taking care and like you grew, you're taking care of this, like, you know, tiny human who's growing up and you're envisioning what their life is going to be like. And to then know a mom, know that they're also raising a tiny human, and you see your kid and you're like, I'm going to support you and love you forever. And there's no part of me that could ever like, would never want you to feel like you shouldn't be in this world anymore. Your friend is not saying that about their kid. And so like, there's like a deep instinct there for you that she's not a safe person for you, nor is she a safe person for your kid. And the educating part, to me, again, I think if she tiptoed around this, there would show that maybe she was a little bit embarrassed about her beliefs. And I think if you're a little bit embarrassed about your beliefs, you tend, there's a little bit of a voice. That voice might get squashed, that voice might get amplified, but there's a little voice there that tells you that this is either societally wrong or like morally, you might know that it's wrong. I'm just going to say, I don't think she's open to being educated. But I personally, when someone says something like really fucking out of pocket and it's not someone that I have, this is something that is like really, really like deal breaker, like really bad, I will just ask someone like, are you open to being like educated and changing? Are you open to changing your mind on this? Most of the time, like a lot of people will be like, no, I'm pretty set in my beliefs. And I'm like, okay, like it's not worth my energy. But then there are some people who are like, I think I know what I know, but like if you have something else that I don't know, and then I send links and then I like step back. But wasting your mental energy, especially as a mom, and feeling the responsibility of like knowing that she's a mom and knowing that her child is growing up in this environment, I just don't think is good for your mental health. And I don't think you'll get anywhere.
Yeah, I had a friend who was my best friend in high school, very best friend. And in college too, we weren't as close, but we were still very good friends. And I mean, I was in Arkansas. A lot of people were Republicans, but not like Trump Republicans until, you know.
There's a lot that of Romney kind of is, Republicans.
Yeah, yeah. And so, but then when Trump ran, she was also pregnant. And I don't know which came first, the love of Trump or the baby. But she changed a lot. Like the things that would come out of her mouth were very different than the more open-mindedness that she had when we were younger. And I thought that I could educate her and lead by example. And it became so taxing on me and so taxing on our friendship that I was just tired and angry. And I grew to just not like her anymore. And so I just kind of, we lived in completely separate states. So I just started to slowly, you know, slow ghost her. She didn't get the hint. And she just thought, you know, like we can still be friends despite our differences. And I was like, no. And I had a conversation about it. And she was set in her ways and I was set in mine. And, you know, to her, her thoughts were her thoughts and they were right. And to me, my thoughts are my thoughts. And as y'all know, I'm never wrong. So
facts.
It was just too exhausting to the point where I couldn't do it anymore. At some point, you know, I was just like, I can't. I told her that I couldn't be friends with her anymore because, you know, I did enjoy her. And of course, all those memories I had, I guess she would be the closest thing. Like y'all know, I moved around a lot and I didn't really have any childhood friends, but this was probably like my oldest friend at that point and that I still talk to. And it was heartbreaking for me, but like I could not emotionally handle it. And it just got to the point where I just realized we did not have the same values and I couldn't do it anymore. And even, you know, when everything happened with George Floyd, she texted me just like, hey, I'm just checking to see if you're okay, blah, blah, blah. And she basically like was like, in so many words, saying, I know that you're one of the good ones. And I was just like, no, like this is completely done. So I just had to block her. And hopefully it won't get to that point for you. Maybe she can be educated, but I just want you to know that it's exhausting and tiring. And some people just, they're not going to see it your way. And she also might be the type of person that thinks that she can change you.
Oh, I've had friends who've dated people like that where they were mm-hmm. like, oh, I thought I could. So I was going to ask you, so like your catalyst of, you know, but trying to educate. So did that come from, did she give you any indication that like she would have changed her mind on it? Or was it the longstanding friendship that felt like after all of these years, like there feels like, not like it's totally out of left field, but it feels like an extreme pivot. And so the other you must be in there somewhere.
You know, I loved her. Maybe this is just something she's going through, but it wasn't.
Yeah, that feeling comes there from the time of a friendship mm-hmm. there and like the love that comes from that. And like, that's like where I think like people who spend the time educating people, it's either because they've made it a clear indicator that they're uninformed and that like they want to learn more, or that like it's been a great relationship up until that point. And then like you're doing it out of love, not always, not usually for the other person, but also like usually for yourself, because you don't want to give up on people who you've mm-hmm. loved throughout your life.
Mm-hmm.
So that, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Caller, this is a more recent friend for you. And so I don't think there's like a self obligation there, like out of love and out of like, I don't want to say respect to your friendship, but out of like, I like really love you and I've loved our memories and I loved our friendship and I don't want you to end up like this after all of this time. So I really am going to put this effort in, which is more for you than it is for them. Or if she's very willing to be educated in the sense that like she's uninformed. And like, to me, people who want to be educated about this, these sort of things, are people whose opinions have been influenced by other factors and they're having a transitional period in their life. So college, you grew up in an incredibly conservative home, or you went to a very religious and conservative college and you're moving out into a new city and you're actively seeking friend groups of people who aren't like you. To me, that's an indicator of like, this is someone who has a belief system that they were born into.
Mm-hmm.
But they're clearly, the actions that they're taking in their lives aren't maybe necessarily matching the words or what they have registered to politically. So that to me is someone who's seeking out on their own education, whether it's it might just be in the form of like by proxy and people that you meet and like learning about other people's lives and just like befriending other people. That's where I'm like, yeah, educate for sure. Without a doubt, we're starting to form our own opinions. But someone who has made a pivot after having a kid and becoming more aligned with extremist beliefs that maybe they grew up with, you also don't know what else that the education part stops at your own, when you're sacrificing your own mental health. And I think there's even a farther limit when you have a kid here, because I don't know if your kids are hanging out or they're like becoming friends, but that's not someone I would feel comfortable with my kid around. Sadly, I wouldn't feel comfortable with my kid around their kid if their kid is being fed this bigoted beliefs. It's just not okay to me. And like, I can't protect my kid when I'm not there. And I think then if you become cagey with not letting your child over there, that's not some, that doesn't, for her, I don't think she wants to be educated from someone like that, because that feels like she's being judged. And she is, and she should
be. She is, but like also religion isn't an excuse for homophobia or transphobia. I have plenty of Muslim friends that are neither. So
yeah,
that's a choice that she's making.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling. And now we're going to take another break.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
We're back, and now we're going to get into an update.
I was a caller from the recent episode, Pressured to Make Decisions, who found out after my ex and I broke up that he had gone on a date with somebody and lied to her about a really traumatic event that happened to me while we were together. And I was trying to figure out how to handle finding out about this, both in terms of like cutting off contact with my ex or not, and then also in interacting with the friends that my ex and I had in common and our community. So a couple things from the update that from the episode that you guys had commented on. So the person who I found out about this from was actually one of the victims of the accident.
Oh my
and my ex had lied about knowing them. That was one of the lies that he had told. And so when they contacted me, and by the way, I got in touch with them since the episode aired to make sure that they're okay with me talking about this, because this was obviously like way more impactful in their life than in mine and a really big deal for them. And they were livid. And I actually found out that they had never liked my ex, which like kind of made sense. One detail, additional gross detail, is that my ex had misgendered them after meeting them. And I had kind of like told him like a couple times and he was like, oh yeah, sorry. But like kind of never got it together. I ended up, after calling y'all that same day before everything blew up and went further, I went ahead and blocked his number. I just kind of had a feeling, and I ended up being really, really glad that I did. Before I blocked his number, I sent him a text that was like, hey, I found out you were talking about this event that happened on a date. Don't do that. And then I like thought about it for a couple minutes or like hours, and then I just blocked his number. Later that day, my friend, who was the one who told me that this had happened, actually put me in touch with the girl that my ex had been on the date with. And she and I have since become friends. Really sweet friends. We have so much in common. We're the same sun sign. We actually look alike, which is creepy on my ex's part.
It is.
We have like tons of stuff in common. She's actually coming over to my house this Wednesday to like do crafts with me. And so she just handled the situation so beautifully. She and I were like exchanging voice memos on Instagram for like hours that night. And after finding out a lot from me about like our relationship and our breakup, she ended up calling my ex and not only calling him out for lying to her, but calling him out in this really amazing, beautiful way for like some of the ways in which he had treated me. And it was super affirming for me, because some of the things she said to him were things that like I would wish that like someone would say to him, but I could never ask that of our mutual friends, like about the ways in which I had supported him and he hadn't been appreciative of me, the way in which he had dumped me. And also just like the fact that like, I think in my original call, I said that he was like fearing intimacy and averse to commitment, but he like kind of wasn't totally acknowledging those things. All he said to me was like, I need to not date for a while. I need to not be with anyone for a while. But then when he had met up with her, I found out later he was not putting himself out there as like, hey, I'm looking for casual sex. He had kind of made it sound like he was like ready and open for like a serious relationship. And she had actually left their first date thinking like, oh, I think I might have found someone that I can really be with, which is especially scary for me because that's exactly how my first date with him went. And so he was just basically like doing his same thing again.
Yeah.
So she called him and she called him out, and he freaked the F out. And he tried to call me, but by then I had his number blocked. And then he proceeded to call pretty much every one of our mutual friends and tell them all, basically like try to take control of the narrative. And essentially what he said was like, oh, you know, I did something, but what I did wasn't really that bad. And now it's getting blown out of proportion.
Her reaction to this like horrible thing that I did, like that's the real issue here. Like that's that vibe where it's like, I did something, but it's not what I did. It's the reaction to what I did.
Yeah, it gave me like this realization about people calling other people dramatic that now I think a little bell is going to go off in my head that I'm like, wait, when you say dramatic, what were they upset about?
Right. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, like,
and how did you react?
Yeah. Right. What caused this? Where did this start? Because the idea that like the woman that you went out with realizes that you're like a lying sack of shit and then calls you and freaks out on you and you're like, how could she call and freak out on me for these things that I've done? Like, that is so bad. It's like, well, she wouldn't have done that if she didn't have the
cause and effect.
Okay. But continue. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's like, oh, like she freaked out. She was yelling at me, which like, actually, I actually think that girl, she was so calm when I talked to her, but I was definitely freaking out. And it's like, oh, okay, this girl's freaking out. Well, what happened? And I feel like sometimes people will be like, kind of make it sound like, oh, I wasn't doing anything. And then you ask, and then they're like, oh, well, I did like, you know, kill her cat or like throw her phone off a building. Or like, I did some like really heinous thing. So like, he's calling our friends. He's freaking out. I had a friend of ours, a mutual friend of his and mine, call me afterwards and kind of be like, yeah, he and I haven't been in touch for months. And then he kind of called me out of nowhere, made it sound like he wanted to know what was going on in my life, but he really just wanted to talk about this. And he kept freaking out about the fact that he couldn't get in touch with you, meaning me, because I had blocked his number. And I guess kept being like, oh, like, I just want to talk. I just want to talk. Meanwhile, that night I was freaked out, but I had like, you know, done my face routine, gone to bed early, taken my trazodone, laying in bed. And I'm so grateful to myself that I had the self-care premonition to block his number so I didn't have to try to go to bed knowing that I had missed his call or whatever. And then with most of our mutual friends, I actually was like, I don't need you to stop being friends with him. If you want to be there for him as he grows and you're willing to call him out and acknowledge that what he did was wrong, it's like a transformative rather than a retributive justice kind of moment. But I was like, I do have some boundaries. Like, I don't want you talking about me with him. I don't really want to hear about what he's doing. And I never want to be physically in the same space, energetically in the same space, really in community in any way. That's a hard boundary. So if that's going to feel hard for you, let me know and I'm going to disengage. Most people handled that pretty well, except we had this one friend in common who I will call Molly. And she kind of had this weird reaction where she was like, oh, like, hey, love, like, I love you with all of my heart.
Already.
Yeah, totally. When I was sending that text, I honestly makes my stomach turn, but she sent me this text. Mm-hmm. It was like, hey, I love you with all of my heart, but I can't be in the middle of what's going on with you and Sam right now. Sam was the name I used last time, so I'll just use it again. I can't be in the middle of what's going on between the two of you. I just need to set a boundary. And I was like, okay, I'm an adult. I'm doing a new community atmosphere, so I'm going to be curious about your boundary. I was like, what's the boundary specifically? Do you not want to hear about the things he did? Do you not want me to talk about him ever? I was just in a relationship with this person for 2.5 years, and I'm probably going to be processing that in the general sense in my life. So like, that might be kind of hard for me. And she responded and was like, I just don't want to be in a situation where I have no choice but to take sides. And I was like, that's weird. Because we have these other friends in common who, when I talked to them about what my ex had done, they didn't react that way at all. And some of them I know are still in contact with him to some extent. I've actually received like some words from a lot of them since then, and a lot of them have pulled back and either aren't close with him anymore or just aren't friends at all with him anymore, which makes sense and is a green flag.
Mm-hmm.
But like none of them were like, oh, I feel like you're making me take sides, because I was really explicitly not doing that. So I was like kind of confused with this girl, why she felt that way. And so I texted her again and I was like, hey, you know what? I get how this could be triggering for you, because she saw a lot of our relationship as it was ending. And there were some dynamics of like anxious and avoidant and him being mean to me. And I know that she has a recent trauma history with like abuse in relationships. And so I was like, you know what? That kind of thing, I have a lot of interest in how trauma affects people's attitudes and like victim mentality and all that abuse psychology stuff. And so I was like, I totally understand how this could be triggering for you. So what I said to her was like, you know what? I think I'm going to take a step back from this relationship. I'm going to take a step back, but I totally understand. I'm like, my door is open if you ever want to talk about this again. And she texts me and she's like, oh, I'm hearing that as that you're taking a step back from yours and my relationship. Is that really what you mean? Like, I was kind of thinking we could stay friends and just never talk about your ex. And I was like, okay, I think this is too much for text. And so I just text her back and I said, hey, you know what? I think we should talk about this in person or maybe over the phone, but I think I've reached my limit with this. And that woman never texted me ever again until ever. It was, I think, 3 weeks ago now. And I don't expect I'll ever hear from her again. About a week later, I was hanging out with another friend of mine who my ex had stayed with because he was leaving my city after we broke up, but he had to stay here for about 2 weeks because he was like quitting his job. But he went to stay with another friend of ours. And this other friend, I'll call her Sarah, she like let him stay on her couch and he was just staying there for 2 weeks. And Sarah and I are really close and we've become closer since my ex left. he was close with her, but I think that she was really put off by like everything that happened. And also she and I like were in the same career. We just have a lot in common. She's awesome. She's become one of my closer friends. Sarah and I were climbing at the gym and she was like, hey, because I had kind of brought up my other friend that wasn't cool with me anymore, that had never texted me back. And I was like, yeah, like I'm still kind of feeling conflicted. Like, was I too hard on her? Should I reach out? Whatever. And Sarah's like, hey, dude, like, I don't know if you want to hear this, but I feel like I should tell you. And I was like, okay, yeah, tell me. So she goes, after the first week that your ex was staying with me, he was supposed to go stay at her house. And he went over there, but then he came back like right away and needed to stay with me again for the second week. And when I asked him about it, he said that there had been some, quote, lonely energy between them.
I knew it.
Yep, me too.
And I was like, fucking of course. And I literally texted my other friend. I was like, hey, dude, please remind me to never mistrust my own intuition ever again, because my intuition is true north. It is really good. I had a feeling. And the one thing I will say that's good is I'm pretty sure they didn't actually hook up, because ironically, my ex actually has had trauma in his own life where two times after a breakup of his ex has hooked up with one of his really good friends. And his last ex before me actually married his former best friend.
Oh my God.
Like a few months ago. And it was something that came up in our breakup that he was like, ever since I found out that happened, I've just been feeling really like worthless. And like, I like people's lives get better when I leave them, which is really sad because it's totally a self-fulfilling prophecy. And that's part of the reason I blocked him. Like half the reason was I didn't want to hear from him. But the other half is I was like, dude, if you reach out to me, I'm going to hurt you because I am better off without you.
Yeah. Like, it's just, he's incredibly, it is one of those things that it's like, that is, it is incredibly self-aware. And it's just like, oh, you are your own demise because like, you're not being good in relationships. So obviously everyone you date, their life is going to get better after you break up because you're not a good partner. So that just kind of ends up how it does. I will say, anytime someone says like, I just don't want to have to pick sides, there's a high likelihood they're saying next, like, I'm not going to pick your side. Like, that's like what a lot of that is.
It also seems like she might be hedging for them to maybe hook if they didn't hook up before. Oh, yeah. She's hoping that's going to happen in the future.
She seemed like the instigator of that. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And he was like, I don't want to do this. So that's why he left and stayed with your other friend.
Yeah, definitely. And it's like, I'm like glad that they didn't hook up, just I think because that would have been like grosser and weirder for me to have to think about. But it's also like, dude, I can never be friends with this girl ever again.
Right.
Like, there's actually a better chance that me and my ex could someday have a conversation about what happened. Like, I've had breakups where the circumstances were absolutely heinous. Like, I literally had a restraining order against one of my exes once. And then after he got sober, we actually were able to like be friends again. And we're not like close, but like, I'm like, if that person was able to text me and be like, hey, I just got engaged, I'm so excited. And I was able to text him back and be like, I'm so proud of you, dude. Like, that's so awesome. Good for you. I don't think I'm the problem.
No. Yeah. And you seem like you've got a great picker when it comes to friends. Cause like, even when you were saying, you were like, you know, I'm okay if they don't cut them off. Cause like both Melissa and I were like, if any of my friends who like fucking didn't cut them off, but like you think highly of your friends, and that for you, that was also a self-fulfilling prophecy because like most of them, like you said, were kind of like in this time period have already distanced themselves. So, like you trust your friends to be like, you know, if they want to babysit, they want to play teacher to him, like they can, if that's something that they want. And then the only person you met that you were met with like pushback from that statement, you're not friends with anymore. And then like a good chunk of the other friends like are like, yeah, I've taken my distance from him, because rightfully so, everyone should be incredibly put off from it. Cause like, even if it's not like factually like this, it's like a really, really fucked up thing, but like, that he did. And but also there's like this air of it too that scares me. Like if I was just friends with the person, like it's not just like a kind of like inappropriate gross boundary in like relationships and like romantic things that it means it doesn't apply to my life as a friend. But like, even if it was just a friend who did that and I knew someone who had done that and said that, I'm a little freaked out. Like, that's just something that would never cross my mind to do. And I've been in lots of different mental states, but like, that's never crossed my mind as something that I would ever say or do. And then it becomes like the, ooh, you are far more unpredictable than I know. And that is like not a quality that I like in people that I'm close to, is like someone who's unpredictable. Cause like, that's scary.
Yeah. And I think like the worst part to me is like, so my ex, most of his closest friends actually are women. And I really think those relationships in themselves are fine. Like, I was around those women a lot when we were dating. They were really mostly accepting towards me, with one exception. But the exception isn't someone I think has a sexual interest in him, because she's actually like totally gay. But I do think that he and that friend kind of enable each other's bad behavior. Ironically, both of them date women too. So it's like they're kind of both weird to women, but one of them is a woman. And she kind of like would blame me when we had conflict in our relationship. But it's just like weird for me. And so basically, like, he has a couple of close friends that were close friends with him before we started dating, that in a couple cases, I really like them. And we had really good relationships outside of my relationship with him. Like, one of them is an artist who I literally commissioned to draw a tattoo that I have on my body. Like, I love her, but I just don't feel comfortable, because I feel like he is a really charismatic person, which also for me now, charisma, red flag. I like an awkward man.
You're too smooth. I'm like, no, I've seen enough movies. I know what this is.
Totally. And like, we met during the pandemic, so I didn't totally realize that about him. But like, with those women, I've basically just like, one of them he was actually staying with in another state after he left the city where I live. And I ended up reaching out to her. She was actually the one that I was most excited to stay close to, but I ended up reaching out to her and just being like, you know what, dude, more things have arisen and I just like can't be in community with you right now. And I really grieve that relationship. I really miss her. It was a big decision with her in particular, but with all of his friends on Instagram, I ended up letting them continue to follow me, but muting my story for all of them. Because one of the things that happened was, at one point when I was freaking out the day that I found out and called you guys, I posted an Instagram story that was like, hey, I need advice handling predatory behavior in a community space. Can anyone reach out to me about this? Super vague, didn't mention him, didn't even mention that it was about dating at all. But somebody, and I don't know who, and it wasn't the girl that I'm not friends with anymore because she doesn't have social media, somebody either showed him that story or told him about it. And he told one of our mutual friends that I was canceling him in our city.
Shut the fuck up.
What?
By the way, Molly definitely has social media. She just has a burner account.
But I would know if she followed me, because mine is super locked down. So like, I'm pretty sure it wasn't her, which makes it worse, because I'm like, dude, whoever did that, like, that is fucking snake behavior.
Yeah. And that's somebody that you still kind of trust, right? Because you don't know who it is.
You don't know. Yeah. So there's no, you don't have any other red flag friendships. Yeah. It sounds like enabling. Like, there is something like you said, with one of his other friends, where it's like, oh, they kind of just like enable each other. Like, when there are people, and like specifically men, who are toxic or kind of like shitty in relationships, or just like aren't like good people or whatever it is, like, I think there's different shades of like enabling. There's like there's the sibling enabling. There's like the big sibling, little sibling, where it's like, oh, like, you know, like, don't mind them. Like, that's like I'm overprotective of my little brother. Or it's like, oh, that's my big brother. Like, he can't do anything wrong. Like, it's just like my silly, goofy big brother. Or it's like motherly, where it's just like, oh my God, he is so fragile. And like, he's been through so much. Like, can't you cut him a little bit of slack? Like, there's this weird thing that like, I find like, as like women, like a lot of us can do, where it's like, there's like a man here that it's like you've deemed as one of the good men. So if another woman is like, that's not one of the good ones, you're like, no. I have decided that this is one of the good ones. So don't pull into question my whole thing, because I feel like I've picked one of the good ones to be in my circle. And like, look how healthy our friendships is, it all of that shit. But it's like, no, like I've had like guy friends who date women who have like treated them like badly. And I'm like, that was awful of you. Like, go fucking apologize, or I'm going to apologize to them for you and be like, I'm so sorry. He's a dick. Like, I called him out on it. Like, he's being a fucking asshole. But like, if you can't do that and like reconcile with that, like, even like her just like not responding to you, to me, yeah, it sounds like he's used to having a lot of enabling behavior, because then to immediately call like, oh, you're canceling me through the grapevine I've heard from an Instagram story that doesn't mention me, I'm like, oh, that is big victim mentality. And then other people who also see him as the victim, you know, like, it's other people who are like, oh, he is being persecuted. Like, oh, Paul Wito baby. Oh, you need help. Okay. And you're like, oh, no, he's not a child.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad to me too, because I'm like, a lot of these women that are friends with him, actually their own lives are progressing. Like a lot of these women are in healthy relationships or have a baby or have been gotten married. And I'm like, dude, aren't you worried about your friend who, like, in the 5 or 7 years since you've known him, you now have these things. You've gone to grad school, you've had a baby, and your friend has two ex-girlfriends in a row, where he had a 2.5 year relationship and then just bailed on them, and he initiated the breakup, and neither of those women will talk to him, and one of them married his ex-best friend. Like, after all that, like, aren't you working overtime to make him the victim? And it's sad because, like, whoever showed him the story actually didn't do him any favors, because then he freaked out more than he needed to, thinking that he was being persecuted in a way that he's not. I actually was asked, because I'm really embedded in this community here where I live, and I'm realizing that my ex was actually like the weakest link in my community. And this whole incident has helped me really reevaluate how to be a great community member, how to hold people accountable, when to cut off relationships and when to rebuild them. And like, I've had opportunities. Actually, one of the guys that I'm dating asked me, like, is this person safe? Because I know someone at his new job, and if he's not safe, I can tell them. And I was like, no, he's not dangerous in that way. This is exactly what I am, and I'm not worried that he would do it. I don't think he'll cause problems in that setting. But like, I could have said anything to that guy, you know? Mm-hmm. I had the power to like get after him and like take revenge, and I didn't do it because that's not transformative justice. It's really sad because him lying on that date even really shows, right? He didn't trust that he himself was good enough and his own experiences were good enough to connect with this woman. So he felt the need to embellish and told a really stupid lie that he got caught in. And it's like, man, it's really sad how much you don't like you. And it's really sad how much you realize that you're really unlikable.
Yeah.
Did he say what he was, that you were canceling him for? Like, was there any sort of like indication that like, because to me, that happened after you had reached out to him and was like, hey, this is what you said on this date. And like, this is like unacceptable. Like, I'm, you know, ceasing communication here. Like, to me, I'm like, he sees that, he through the grapevine hears about that, like that Instagram story. And I'm like, so there is some acknowledgement from you on your end, sir, that like, this was a cancelable offense. Like, that's what I'm a little bit like, okay, huh?
Or like how these people use cancel as like a way to make excuses for their bad behavior, and they make it seem like they're the victim in the situation, and they use cancel in that way instead of like how cancel was initially supposed to be. And again, nobody gets canceled. It doesn't exist.
So like, the city that I live in isn't huge, and I do a really specific like outdoor sport here that he was also kind of in the community doing with me. And it's not really that big of a community. Like, I've already discovered that in myself starting to date again. But so yeah, like in the climbing community here, it's pretty small, and you know, I climb it. There's not a ton of gyms, and that's pretty normal. Most cities have like a limited number of gyms, and I know a lot of people who climb at my gym, and he does too. And he will be in this city a little bit in and out, maybe for one of his jobs. I don't really know, but like, I think he got freaked out, and in a way he's really right to, because that's actually one of the things that I love about being in small community is that like there is some accountability. And I think about that of like my behavior at the gym, my behavior on dates with people that are in my community, people are going to hear about that. But the thing about like accountability is like, I'm comfortable with that accountability because I want to be in a space where if I mess up, someone's going to notice and say something. Like, that's how I'm safe. That's how my community members are safe. You know what I mean? And so I think that his freak out was around the fact that like, I texted the friend of ours that he was staying with in the other state that he went to cut off communication. And when I sent that text to her, I wasn't really specific, but I basically said, I found out that Sam did something predatory and I'm needing to cut off communication and not be in community with him anymore. And that's all I said. So he probably saw that text, which actually, again, like his friend showing him that text, kind of harmful to him. I sent it to her to communicate with her. And it's like, dude, like, be careful about the way you gossip with your friends, even if it's about them. Like, think about what you're doing and like sharing that information in that way. And so I think he thought that I was like spreading the news all over this small community that he has been in. And he didn't want people to find out what he had done. And it's like, well, yeah, I know you don't want people to find that out because you know that it's wrong. And me telling people about this thing that you did in an objective way, it's not me being dramatic, it's not me canceling you, but yes, it is going to make people think less of you.
Yeah. And I don't think he's used to, when people think less of him, them distancing themselves. It's just like, oh, now we will fix you because you are a victim. And it's like, oh, what do you mean that I made myself the victim in this situation and now I'm not allowed to be the victim now? And now suddenly, like, this isn't getting me like the sympathy and the love and the adoration and like the compassion and the care that I wanted it to. And like, I don't like that.
He's getting it from Molly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Full time, round the clock.
How did your friend number one, I forgot what name you gave them, but how did they find out about his line?
This was the craziest thing. And actually, it felt like there were some aspects of like witchy femme community power going on with this whole situation. But so basically, the girl that he took out on the date and lied to is actually friends with them, like tight friends for a long time. And the reason that the topic came up on the date was because she had a sticker on her water bottle when she was hanging out with him that referenced that event and was like a tribute to the person who had died. And so then he was like, oh, dude, like, I know about that. I knew that person who died and I knew this other person who was involved in the accident. That was like the lie that he told. And so then after the date, of course, which is so stupid, right? The girl who was on the date reaches out to her friend who was a victim of the accident and is like, hey, I met this person who met you. Oh my God. And he's so cool. And then that person was like, hold the fucking phone. And they texted me. I was in class. And my first reaction, bless my dumb little heart, I was like, oh, I don't really think he's dating right now. Oh, I don't really think he would say something like that. Whew.
Yeah. Well, now you know. Wow. That is so wildly bold. And
that person lives in another city because that accident happened in another city. That accident happened in a city a few hours away from here that I moved here from. And so it was just like a crazy coincidence that those people had a connection, because the person who went on the date actually has never lived in that other city. She's just friends with some people from there, including, and there's some really strong like themes running through this also of like, some of these people in this story know each other through like leftist community organizing and like advocacy with like housing and BLM and advocating for people who are unsheltered. And so like, to me too, I think that really brought home the lesson for me of like how I exist in community in my personal life cannot be divorced from my views as a leftist, my beliefs about the world, and my desire to create strong community as a leftist. And so like, that transformative justice, that sense of like, we're all in it together, that if I don't have people in my personal circle who also feel and behave that way, my personal life isn't going to work.
Yeah. Yeah. That I can't believe that he would be like so bold to.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it was especially unlucky, right? The person he lied about knowing, I definitely don't like him.
But it's like unlucky for him, but he deserved it, you know, because he's a liar. And so 100%. It's unlucky for him. But like, you came out ahead of this because you know who your actual friends are. You gained a new friend and, you know that you will have no contact with him in the future. Yeah.
But yeah, I need a little more Megan energy of like, you know, I know he's a person who likes, my ex is a person who likes to downplay what happened. And I bet that he's out there telling people that it was like kind of mutual or something and like downplaying that I'm pissed at him. And then there's people in his life that are just believing that. And so then one day they'll go and look and all of a sudden they don't follow me anymore. And maybe that'll be a little bit of a hint that their friend's not as trustworthy as they think.
Yeah. Or he's completely being the victim in it and painting you in a bad light as well.
And again, like I've had friends who have done that. Like I've literally had friends who like, they like really downplayed it. They made themselves the victim. And like, even then I was like, babe, let's be so honest with ourselves right now. Like you and I both know that that is not what happened. Like, and they're, oh, did you talk to so-and-so? And I'm like, no, but like, I know you and like, I love you. And like, why are you telling me this story, this fable about this person who does not exist? Like, that is not you. Like, that is not what happened. Like, let's talk this through. Or they will say something that I'm like, you're being really cruel. You're not being like yourself. Stop owning this. Like, this makes you the victim. Like, you fucked up. Like, let's own our actions. Let's do all this. But like, at this point, like, he had another relationship. He said like 2 years, something. And then he just is like, boom, I'm out. Like, these people who have been around pre you have seen him in all different shades. They've seen him in all different lights. They've seen him in all different like life scenarios and situations and stuff. And like, if they're choosing to like not, if they're not seeing it, it's a choice. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you have not gotten the, is it the wool? What's that saying? The wool pulled
over? The wool pulling over your head.
Yeah. Your eyes or whatever. Like, that's, your life isn't just happening to you. Like, at this point, like, you're choosing to be like, I'm going to like ignore this thing there. And like, if that's their prerogative, like, they can totally do that. But that doesn't absolve them from any like responsibility or culpability in enabling his behavior.
He's one of those people who's like, there's always a crisis, you know what I mean? And I really noticed that when we were together. It was hard because like, actually some really horrific things happened to him while we were together, like actually bad life stuff. Like, he lost a parent, like really serious. But then it seemed like what I saw, and it was so hard because it's like, how do you tell someone how to deal with a really significant grief in their life, a really significant life change? But at the time that was all happening, I was accomplishing some really big stuff in my own life, like things that many people will never accomplish. And I feel really fortunate for that. But I kind of realized eventually, I was like, oh, like 100% of the resilience in our relationship is coming from me. Like, I am the problem solver. I am the one who stays calm. And you just like, a wind blows too hard and you're suddenly in pieces. Like, he finds a way to hide that quality in himself. He just like has really strong, like, attractive straight white man who's like outdoorsy and self-sufficient, like energy, but it's actually just like a thin candy coated shell of avoidance over like, I was going to say just like an abscess. Like, he's just got nothing. He's just really toxic inside. The good thing is like, this person that my ex, like, he was like so difficult to date. He was just so difficult. He was such a difficult partner. And it was like, he was a crash intensive course in like everything you could possibly learn about intimacy and dating, even in our breakup.
Oh God.
Right. I do have like a last question to ask you before we wrap up, and it has nothing to do with anything that we just talked about, but it's just like, what was the last book that you read? I know you're very busy in your career, but
I think that the last one that I read that really stuck with me is this book called Barkskins by Annie Proulx, who's an author I've liked for a really long time. And it's a fictional book, and it spans basically like history of in America, in the US, from like the 1600s until like the 1900s, and talks a lot. It has like, it's like a fictional book. And so it has like a storyline that is following this family for generations, but it also has a ton of themes of like settler colonialism, land use, forestry, indigenous experiences as America as a nation has developed. And I absolutely loved it.
I could tell it was going to be some good shit. I just knew it.
You're going to love that book. I recommend.
I love her. And I think everyone else will too.
Mm-hmm. I just felt like that she had some cool insight on the world. So I wanted to know what she was reading. And she was, if she wrote down, if you're listening and if you want to just like share, because you said you read a ton of books during your break, if you want to share those books, I would love to check it out.
Also, the book that she described, I was like, is this how I'm going to learn US history? Because like through the lens of fiction, without a doubt, I can understand that a little bit more. And then she's like, yeah, and it goes through all this timeline. I was like,
you can see it in Megan's eyes when the caller is talking about the book. You kind of go,
oh, no. Yeah. And especially when she's like, yeah, and it's like the timeline from this. I go, not only am I going to understand history, but in sequence, that is, this is the Avengers. This is the thriller. This is what I needed. This is amazing. So yeah, we hope you enjoyed. You can see if you just listened, the video reactions of our faces are pretty prime.
Well, speaking of live streams, if you want to join our Patreon, we do live streams 2 times a month and they're pretty fun. It's just this, it's very chill. You don't have to like get dressed up. Some people lie down and sleep during it. Some people are cooking. I'm always cooking. Like, we're just hanging out and chatting and learning things about the world that everybody isn't. But like, when I say learning things about the world, not like in a like a boring type way, it's just everybody sharing things about their lives, and everybody's from all around the world. So
it's great. It's amazing. It's fun. We have a great time. And we've had like consistently at least one new person for like the last like probably like 2 months or something like that. And we did have a someone said, they're like, this is like, I was like, did we describe this well? And they're like, this is like exactly like the vibe. Like, I like really like just like hopped in, like felt very comfortable talking. Like, this is just really chill and fun. And I was like, oh, glad to know that we've been selling it.
Yeah. Like, it was sunset.
Oh, that took me a second. I can't stand those real estate shows because they're all houses are fucking
they're
ugly.
Fake. And it's just fake.
But fine with it fake if the houses were nice looking, but like they look like cold mausoleums. Isn't that where you keep dead people?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow. And we have a very interesting conversation.
I don't even fucking remember what it's about.
Bye.
Bye. Don't Blame Me is a production by me, Megan Rinks.
And me, Melissa DeMonts, plus Diamond Imprint Productions.
Post-production sound and editing by Coco Lorenz.
Production assistance by Melanie D. Watson.
And music by Giacomo Picasso and Ryan Hunter.